Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Ed's Seafood Shed, and the official, which is the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners. We could not do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, the show is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5, and if you like to listen on demand via podcast, we have podcasts up of our regularly aired programs on most of the major podcast channels. Just search Scuttlebutt or SBN. And if you'd like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, you can always check out Tom's Tirade via podcast on CastBox.com. Also, follow us on Facebook. Post a lot of good information there. Keep the conversation going. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we got a packed show for you tonight. So if we cannot get to everything or you'd like more information on some of the topics that we discussed, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He's going to get us up to speed on everything they have to offer our military and the veterans with their services. Also, could the Trump-North Korea summit mean the return of those lost during the Korean War? That is probably one of, I think, probably the first indicators of how this is going to go, and the numbers are probably larger than you think. Now, speaking of numbers, the VA is trumpeting its numbers on claims processing thus far this year. We'll take a look at it and see if it's more smoke and mirrors or is it the real thing. And, of course, Tom's Tirade later on Retreat Hell. I think you can say hell on the radio.
Tom, hell yeah, you can say that.
Okay. I didn't know if it was one of those seven words that you just, well, who knows? I mean, seven words, they're saying them all over the air these
Cal,
days, as long as it's directed towards the president.
Cal, we've been thrown out of bigger and better places.
I know. I know, but, you know, they probably won't go after Robert De Niro. They might, you know, come knock on our door, Tom.
That's right. Well, you know, they can always just say bleep, you know, return bleep.
We can just say bleep, 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 bleep,
yeah,
bleep, right?
Yeah, well, they'd bleep my whole conversation then, you know.
Well,
I'm too old to retrain, Cal.
The good thing you have, Tom, is most of the time they can't understand what you're saying.
Well, they could call that a Tomism.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah, like saying NASA what?
Massachusetts or whatever that is.
I know. It's a phonetic system all on its own. But anyway.
Hey, man, we didn't have that in the third grade.
But we're kicking off the show being joined by a great supporter of our veterans, Ms. Rhonda Davis from Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park. Rhonda, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I always love to come and spend my evenings with you all here on Scuttlebutt. And I thank the listeners, too.
Cal, she's never come in here what she didn't have about five or six subjects to talk about on all the things that are occurring at that fabulous battleship.
This is a great time of year. Obviously, summer is in full swing, and the battleship is a fantastic attraction any time of year. But certainly for a summer break, great vacation destination, and I'm sure it's been busy just with folks in and out. Plus, we've got July 4th coming up, not too far down the road, and certainly plenty of events there for July 4th. But I know, Rhonda, you have some things coming up before the 4th.
We do. Well, you know, the listeners may not really know. We have over 275 events a year at the battleship.
That's what I was wondering if you actually.
Yes. And tonight we have the Distinguished Young Women come in for National Finals Week, and I left them at the ship. They came in for their welcome. We had John Kirkpatrick from the Veterans Resource Recovery Program speaking to the girls tonight, and they toured the park, and they had dinner with their host families, and they're just having a great time in the pavilion, relaxing and letting their hair down and enjoying a night of line dancing.
Uh-oh.
So you can see that the park really is used by our community for many events, everything from our military promotion, retirement ceremonies, through group tours, community events, fundraisers. We were actually had a site visit today from a group of men that are going to plan the Tunnels to Tower race again this fall. So we always have a lot going on. This weekend, we have our Living History crew aboard ship again. They will be on the USS Alabama and the USS Drum doing our historical reenactments. And that will be Saturday and Sunday.
And that's open to the public?
It is. When you pay your admission to tour, you'll be able to engage with our Living History crew. At 1 o'clock, we'll have call to battle stations and have the really wonderful aerial attack by our vintage airplane group.
Uh-oh.
And the men will fire the 20 and 40 millimeter guns to repel the air attack. So it is a lot of fun to watch and to see what it kind of felt like when you had a Japanese aerial attack.
I believe those guns are a little bit bigger than those M1s that I had. Yeah.
Well, you had a C3, didn't you? You didn't even get that far down in the altitude.
I can remember struggling around with that big BAR, Browning automatic rifle.
They are a bit bigger, but that has to be an impressive display. And so I know you said 1 o'clock, when does the attack, the simulated attack, take place?
That will take place at 1. Now, the day's schedule will start at 8 in the morning with the posting of the colors. Then at 9 o'clock, the L-Birds, the Black Ducks out of the Florida Panhandle, are coming in to land their World War II airplanes on the field. They'll be doing aerial maneuvers. They'll be doing a missing man formation after the air attack at 1 o'clock. So they're new. This will be their first appearance at the ship. We're very excited to have them. The L-Birds are small World War II airplanes. They're very light. So people will be able to watch them, talk to the pilots, enjoy a whole day of Living History. Then on the grounds, we're going to have the Deep South Amateur Radio Club. They will be doing a continuous broadcasting for National Field Day. They'll be on the grounds between the ship and our ticket office. With them will be the National Weather Service and the American Red Cross. And they'll be distributing disaster and hurricane preparedness materials. Then we have the 4th of July coming right on the heels, and that is the evening for our big fundraiser called Fireworks on the Fantail. This fundraiser, the proceeds benefit the Battleship Foundation, and it goes to our restoration projects on the ship.
But that's an expensive project.
Well, we've got tickets are $50 for adults and $25 for children. We'll have a barbecue dinner, an ice cream buffet, drinks. We have a children's author coming, and it's going to be a great night wrapping up with fireworks.
Okay. We're going to take a little break here and get some word from our sponsor.
Stay with us through the break, and we'll have more with Miss Rhonda Davis from the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park on the other side of the break when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
The brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots from around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And again, it is an honor and a privilege to be speaking with one of our great sponsors here on SBN, Ms. Rhonda Davis from the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park. Rhonda, it's always great to have you here. Prior to the break, you were mentioning all the different events that you have coming up. Obviously, you have the Living History coming up this weekend. And I think you said that the events will start at 8 o'clock. What time does the park open for folks to get in?
The park will open at 8 a.m. daily. Saturday it will be open at 8. People need to come with comfortable shoes, sunscreen, drink plenty of water. We invite you to be on the deck before 1 o'clock for the battle reenactment. Now, the reenactors will be on the deck. They'll go through their morning briefing after they post the colors at 8. Then they'll come aboard ship and do a weaponry drill. They'll test fire the guns. They'll talk about the weapons that were used on the ship during World War II. The L-Birds will also be landing that morning at 9 o'clock. Now they are going to be on the field, so people can stop before they come in to the park, visit with the L-Bird pilots, come on in, come on to the ship, and they want to be on the deck before 1 o'clock. This is our high tourist season, so it's always exciting to have so many guests on the deck to witness the mock battle attack. That will take place at 1. Following the battle attack, which usually takes about 45 minutes, the L-Birds are going to fly and do a missing man formation. So that should be somewhere between 2:30 and 3 o'clock.
Wonderful. So folks can come out and bring the family and basically spend most of the day. Now, does the admission also include the aircraft pavilion? Because you haven't mentioned that.
It does. Admission will allow you to tour the battleship, and of course, it's a self-guided tour. The aircraft pavilion and the USS Drum, our submarine. So plan to come and spend at least 2.5 or 3 hours with us. We also have a galley that you can have lunch with us, or if you want to bring a picnic, we have wonderful covered picnic tables on the grounds. If you're traveling with your dogs, we have kennels, so you can kennel them while you're visiting with us.
Wonderful. So it really is. They could stop off about 8 o'clock and spend the day with all of the different events that you have going on, and in between check out the drum and check out the aircraft pavilion.
Absolutely. And Cal, our Living History crew has really grown, and now the USS Drum has their own Living History crew. So they drill jointly. So if you're coming, always stop by the Drum. It's a beautiful tour, and with the Living History crew, they're doing demonstrations and showing how to load the torpedoes. So it's a great tour for the USS Drum as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so the Living History crew for the Drum will be there all day as well?
They will.
Great. Well, it really is something that you could take and bring the family. As you said, bring lots of sunscreen because that sun will get you, and lots of water because it is supposed to be warm, but plenty to do. So, and of course, now you've got July 4th coming up, and I know the battleship is always sort of a hotbed of activity during that time period, and kind of review the different things that will be available for folks to enjoy in that period.
Well, the battleship will be open 4th of July. It's one of our most important days at the park. People can come and tour. And then at 7:30, we'll have our Fireworks on the Fantail, which is our second annual fundraiser. At 7:30, ticket holders can board the ship. We will have live music by the 1940s jazz band Swing. We'll have dinner on the Fantail. We'll have children's activities. We'll have a wonderful ice cream buffet. And then we'll go to the bow of the ship to watch the fireworks from the city of Mobile. And one of the things that people don't realize is from the deck, you can see Spanish Fort's fireworks, Fairhope's fireworks, along with the city of Mobile. So it's a great place to view fireworks for the 4th of July.
That's awesome.
And
Rhonda, do you still have, is the parking available for folks to come and park to watch the fireworks, even if they don't board the ship?
We do. Now, I will tell the public that's listening, last year the mayor moved the fireworks into the river. So you don't see them from the ground as well as you used to, but you can see them beautifully from the ship.
Okay.
Our field will still be open, for spectators. If you're coming to view from the field, feel free to bring a picnic basket, bring your pets. We don't allow alcohol or fireworks on the park grounds, but we invite you to come and enjoy the 4th of July with us on the field.
Wonderful, wonderful. So a couple of great days that can be spent there at the battleship, enjoying everything that it has to offer. How many aircraft do you have in the pavilion now?
Well, total in the park, we have just at 30. We have one aircraft that's under restoration now by Mike Thompson, our airplane guru. One you'll see him working on from the parking lot area. It's always so interesting to see what he's doing, the painting that's going on. This time of the year, we kind of back down from our restoration projects a little bit because it is high tourist season. You're going to have probably the month of July, we're expecting 54,000 people to tour the park. So it is a large park, a large area, but we really do try to accommodate all of our tourists at this time and make sure that they're well taken care of.
Wonderful. Well, Mike's been doing a fantastic job. I think he has kind of single-handedly pieced many of those aircraft back together that were damaged during Katrina. I know it's been an ongoing effort
for him.
But he throws himself into it, every one of those planes that he has worked on is a tribute to the effort that he has put into it. So I'm sure it has to kind of, he's kind of like holding a whirling dervish when you only make him work on one plane at a time.
Well, and people don't realize the devastation from Hurricane Katrina, and every plane in the collection was damaged.
Right. I had to rebuild everything. Cal, we've got a caller online that I'd like to bring on here. It's C.B. Carl. You remember him?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, C.B.
Yeah.
Claxton here. You got a minute? So just give us a quick report on that event.
Bud Hance, Welton Hance, the 96-year-old Marine that works at Lowe's in Foley, he had open-heart surgery today. and they did three bypasses and a valve replacement. And as far as we know, he's doing good, and I just want everybody to keep praying for that hero.
Amen. We appreciate your report. Keep us up to date, CB.
Can do.
All right, brother. Have a great one.
Brother. Bye.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow. Isn't that awesome?
There's somebody older than me.
Hey, if anybody's ever shopped at Lowe's in Foley, they know who this gentleman is.
They know who
is.
That gentleman is.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, and Tom, now that they got him patched up, he'll be good for another 20 or 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That dude will outlive me.
I don't know about that, Tom.
All right. What else do you need to bring forth?
Well, you know what? I just want everyone to know that Battleship Memorial Park operates from admissions, our special event rentals, and donations. We are a self-sustaining park. We don't receive any funding.
A lot of people aren't aware of that.
From the federal government, the state, the city, or the county. So when you come to the park and you pay your admission, know that it's going toward the stewardship of the park and what we do to serve our mission and to celebrate and honor the veterans from all the modern wars.
How can you make a donation?
You know, if you go to our website, we don't have a donation button now, but there's information there that you can mail your donation to, and it will go to the USS Alabama Battleship Foundation, and that is going to be tax deductible. Our memberships are also, information for memberships are also there. That helps us with sustaining the park and operating the park. And we just really appreciate all the people that support our events, that come and tour the park, use the park, rent the park, and enjoy it. And know that your contribution truly is a way that you can honor our veterans.
And you can rest assured, if there's any day of the week or weekend that you don't have something to do, you can always drift over to the battleship. They'll have something going on.
Absolutely. And we are open every day except Christmas Day.
All right.
Now, follow us on Facebook. Follow us, and that is USS Alabama Battleship Memorial Park. Check out our website, ussalabama.com. We keep a very active calendar of events. You can see all the new things that's going on. And you know what? Just come see us.
Just come see that fabulous battleship and the drum.
And something new you'll see, our stringer lights are back up.
Uh-oh.
And the radar's turning again. So that's something new and wonderful that we've done recently.
Awesome.
Outstanding. Well, Rhonda, we appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much for everything that you do for the battleship, for our military, and our veterans. There's some great events this weekend, the Living History on Saturday, and July 4th is right around the corner. So, Rhonda, again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for everything you do for our veterans and our military. Well, on the other side of the break, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. We'll talk to him when we return on the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. If you'd like to listen on demand, most of our regularly aired programs are up on most of the podcast sites. Just search Scuttlebutt Network or SBN, and you can listen on demand. If you like to get your blood pressure going, you can always get Tom's tirades on listen to podcasts of those on demand at castbox.com. I think we've got a number of them, new ones that are going to be posted over the next few days. So if you subscribe, it'll let you know when new ones are loaded, and you can go out and get your juices flowing, go on a good run, and let Tom coach you along. Hey, you can also check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And speaking of Serenity, it is an honor to be joined here on SBN by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here, as usual.
I'll tell you what, it's a lot going on at Arlington Cemetery, and you have some experience in that field, Bill, from by being into the funeral services for all these years. But I called you the other day and fired you some questions on there, and if you will, we'll get started with those.
Sure.
And wait a minute. Let's bring Tricia on. Everybody knows that Trunk Monkey, are you on board?
I absolutely am.
Well, you know, you had some problems here with the loss of your father here in the last month or so, and I think you had the chance to use these Serenity services.
Absolutely, I did. I would love to say it was a privilege. Unfortunately, as Bill knows all too well, when someone comes into his office, it's not exactly the happiest time of their life. From the time that I made the phone call and made arrangements to they had escorts take my father from the hospital to the funeral home, and I got a very prompt call the next morning from one of his fantastic employees. Let me tell you, I can't sing her praises enough, that they helped me every step of the way, kind of stepped around some things that we needed to do or wanted to do, made suggestions. And everybody that knows me knows that I am a very, very big veteran supporter. And when my brother, who is a veteran, mentioned that, I had said I wanted to have a color guard. And I was really saying, hey, call our veterans in the area. They're very good at this. Bill, I guess your right hand, is that who she is?
Yes.
She stepped in and said, let me make a phone call. And I believe I know who we can get. My father, for those that don't know that are listening, was a Air Force retiree, 23 years of service, and a huge patriot, just a good, good man. And what was one of these things where I wanted to have these things done and honor him and his service and all those who serve, Serenity stepped up. They called in the honor guard from Keesler Air Force Base. And they brought them in, and Tom, you were there, and Cal was
unbelievable
too.
Service. Unbelievable.
And Bill was there as well. Bill went so far as to hand select an urn for my dad, and it was a beautiful, beautiful urn, and we had the services there. They brought them in. I was able to meet the honor guard. They carried us through every step. We had a wonderful slideshow, and I believe, Bill, I'm not overstepping my bounds here, but you were fairly thankful that the Trunk Monkey was in the building at that point.
Yes. We couldn't have made it without you.
A wonderful service. People are still talking about the fact that it was one of the most beautiful ceremonies. They came in, they did the full honor, and we had... we had taps, we had 21 gun, we had the folding of the flag, we had everything, and it was, on one hand, a very sad occasion, but on the other hand, wow, I was thoroughly impressed.
Yes.
from front door to coming back by to pick up some things that we needed to handle. This staff at Serenity is one of the most top-notch that I've ever had dealings with, and my father being a retired minister as well. Believe me, I've been in enough funeral homes. But this situation was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, Bill, I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Well, Tricia, it is a pleasure. It's not a job, really. It's... when we serve veterans, that's just one of my top passions. We simply cannot do enough to say thank you for the men and women of this country that have gone before us, that have done the heavy lifting to help make this nation the greatest in the history of the world.
Well, freedom is not free, and your organization certainly recognizes that, and they put every effort in to do an unbelievable job. And Trish, Pops would have been proud.
Oh, you kidding? He was cheering us on, and so was my mom. So,
yep.
And we had so many veterans there,
yep,
who came by, and I know I was standing there for several of them that went and sought Bill out and shook his hand.
Right. Oh,
and
yes.
They realized very quickly that there was somebody at the helm of this that not only had the respect for the veterans, but he knew what the heck he was doing, too.
There you go.
Well, Tricia, thank you for your kind words.
Thank you so much.
It really means a lot.
Bill,
I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Bill, all right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Bill. That being said, we're talking about veterans. We certainly have to talk about the Arlington Cemetery, which I was bringing up there a while ago. But now, Arlington Cemetery, aren't we running out of some space there?
You know, space has been a concern for Arlington and Congress for quite some time. There are only approximately 100,000 graves left, and that sounds like a lot.
Ooh.
But when you consider that how many they do each year, space is a very, very real concern.
Well, how big is Arlington?
624 acres.
Oh, I thought it was bigger than that.
It's only 624.
Goodness, well, now, didn't this land, Arlington Cemetery, didn't that property originally belong to some famous group of people at one time?
Yes, a little interesting fact. The property that Arlington sits on was originally owned by the step-grandson of George Washington.
Ooh.
It later became owned by Robert E. Lee's wife's family. And a little interesting side note, that land was confiscated after the War of Northern Aggression, or some people call the Civil War.
Civil War, okay.
Little poke at our Yankee listeners out there.
Yeah.
But it was confiscated, but 10 years after his death, the Supreme Court ruled that they had to return that land back to the families in its original form.
Uh-oh.
Therefore, they would have had to disinter thousands of graves.
Right.
So his son struck a deal with the government and sold it in, I believe, 1883 for $150,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was a lot of money then.
That was a lot of money then, but, you know, can't believe that. Now, can't the government just simply purchase some more additional land around it at all and expand?
Well, they have taken in an expansion of 27 acres very recently, and they're prepping that now for future use. But unfortunately, the cemetery is now surrounded by the city.
Oh, okay.
Everything is grown around.
It's kind of like Mobile in Brooklyn Field. You know?
Exactly.
They want to expand the airport, but
<There's just laughs>
where are you going to expand to? You know, out in the bay?
There's just no other room.
Right. Yeah. Well, how many burials do they do a year at Arlington? Do you have those figures?
About 1,900. Yeah, it's
well, that 100,000 won't last long.
No, but if you factor in the fact that there's going to be a lot of baby boomers passing away in the next 20 years.
Yep.
And so it's going to grow exponentially.
Well, and you know, I read that most Iraq and Afghanistan veterans are not going to be able to be buried there.
That's true, but, you know, on the surface, that sounds horrible, and it is, but it doesn't really have anything to do with the war they fought in. It's just simply the fact that the average life expectancy of those young veterans, they will outlive the room that will be left at Arlington. So,
gracious. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now, we have another problem that's occurring up there, and that's the fact that they are having so many urns of cremated remains that are being left at the Vietnam Wall. Do you have any background or knowledge on this?
Yeah, I read something the other day. You know, people leave all kinds of memorabilia there at the wall, and the Park Services pick up all those items that are left at the wall daily,
right.
And they're stored. They're not thrown away. They are stored in boxes in a huge warehouse. But with an urn, though, that's a little different. And so there's a guy named Fred Salanti who founded a nonprofit organization called Missing in America Project. And he has recently signed an agreement with the National Park Service to take possession of these cremated remains. They've signed a five-year renewable agreement that they will take those cremated remains and bury them in a cemetery in Manassas, Virginia, which is really only a couple of miles away from the Vietnam Wall. So it's a wonderful thing someone has stepped up to solve a problem that has crept up over the last few years.
Okay. Well, you know, it's we've covered a lot of territory and all here, but we certainly need for the people to know how to get in touch with you and your fine people out at Serenity Funeral Homes and Garden.
They can call us anytime at 251-653-4781 or go to our website at www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
Bill, it's a pleasure to have you been on here today, and we appreciate your sponsorship of the show, and you do an unbelievable job for the people out of Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens. God bless you, brother.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
You do an
thank
awesome
you for what
job.
You do.
Yes, we're going to
Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on retreat hell. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Much to the chagrin of established types across the Beltway bureaucracy from Clinton to Obama, President Donald Trump brought the leader of North Korea Kim Jong-un to the diplomatic table in Singapore last week. Although Rocket Boy might not remember much of the meeting, as he and his delegation apparently decided it was okay to meet with Trump as long as the nightlife was hopping in the destination city. Which is understandable when you live in what is possibly one of the most impoverished nations in the modern world. Yes, the pot-bellied dictator who is in bad need of a hairstylist may be able to launch missiles into the ocean and give everyone in Southeast Asia heartburn, but he can't feed his army, much less his people. He has the same fashion designer as Hillary Clinton, and he can't watch porn in Pyongyang because the internet is down, amongst other things. Anyway, the historic nature of this meeting is lost on most who have no recollection of the Korean War. I remember it well. Which led up to it, how it transpired, and how it ended. Here's a clue. It didn't. For others, mainly on the progressive left, it forces them to grind their teeth and down another cosmopolitan with their Rolaids. Because in a little more than a year, President Donald Trump has scored a number of tangible successes, from the economy to unemployment, to strengthening our military and a conservative Supreme Court, to evening our trade deficits and handling power back to those outside of D.C., to bringing the leader of North Korea, communist North Korea, off the crazy train in North Korea to the table to talk peace, denuclearization becoming part of the free world economy, and ending that pesky war from a while back. Google it, snowflakes. Yes, while those on the political left and the anti-Trump right may be rooting for failure in these talks, the simple fact that they happened should at least earn Trump a Nobel Prize participation trophy. Because you know, everybody gets one, even if they accomplished nothing but 8 years of constant war and division.
Paging Barack Obama. Please report to the dustbin of history.
Having said all of this, the fact that the North Koreans are a proud, if not prideful, people whose leaders are looking to secure a better future for their country is not surprising, even in light of their possession of nuclear weapons. In fact, some historians might say that the desire of the North Koreans to possess nuclear weapons and then to hold them over the head of the Western world is simply an extension of the battle that the Korean Peninsula has had to endure for time immemorial. You see, Korea is a country forged in war. Fighting has been a way of life there for centuries. When the fighting was not from within, Koreans were defending their country against outside aggression. The tiny peninsular nation has been invaded, threatened, looted, brutalized, occupied, influenced, and finally divided. It has been the red-headed stepchild to its neighbors, China, Russia, and Japan, for many years. Koreans have felt that the destiny of their country was defined not by events within their country, but by events surrounding Korea. There's an old adage that Korea is nothing more than a shrimp among whales. Not a great way to view the future, but it does make sense if you look at the story that history tells. In the 14th century, after being preyed upon by Japan, China, and Mongolia, Korea closed its borders. But after it was discovered that Korea was a mineral-rich nation, the big boys, now including Russia, decided they wanted back in. War was inevitable, beginning with clashes between China and Japan and ultimately Russia, with Japan declaring victory and occupying Korea, which would remain an integral part of the Japanese Empire until the end of World War II. At the end of the war, Korea was split at the 38th parallel, with communist Russia throwing up not a Berlin Wall, but rather a dividing line of civilization and disparity as they destroyed all modern forms of travel and communication within the country. It was a remarkable act of barbarism in a nation that had known nothing but occupation and division. Fast forward to the invasion of the South by the communist North and the ensuing war. It was truly a puppet war. Who knows just exactly who was pulling the strings, but my money is on the Chinese. North Korea attacked its sister to the South unprovoked and almost succeeding in pushing the forces of democracy into the sea. However, what is certain is that it was the actions of the United States and its allies, including Canada, that stopped the communist aggression. Communist aggression from the North Koreans, their communist Chinese allies, and most likely their Soviet supporters. It was the fight of the Marines and the U.S. Army at the Chosin Reservoir that slowed the advance of the Chinese. Retreat, hell, we're just fighting in another direction, was the cry of the Marines as they fought their way through the Chinese and back to friendly lines. When hostilities entered in 1953, the U.S. had lost 33,686 troops. An armistice was signed creating the DMZ at the 38th parallel, the original dividing line for the North and South. Technically, the war never ended. The U.S. has had troops on the peninsula ever since, and the North has been a persistent pain in the donkey for the West, as well as neighbors such as Japan. Prior presidents have tried to play nice with North Korea, even offering them nuclear technology, if they didn't develop nuclear weapons, who thought it was a good idea. Although there is still much to do in the aftermath of the summit for it truly to be a success, President Trump has already gained concessions that are encouraging. Among them is a pledge to sign a treaty ending the war and the promise to repatriate the bodies of thousands of American boys buried in the North and the DMZ. If the summit accomplished nothing more than this, it is still progress, whether those on the progressive left and anti-Trumpers will acknowledge it. But if this can be done, who knows how much more Trump can do to bring North Korea out of the axis of evil and into the modern world. I applaud his courage and his fortitude and refusal to retreat, just like the Marines at the Frozen Chosin. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
What's my career?
You kept saying career.
I know it's my career, man. It was my career. Yeah.
As opposed to a southern career, which wouldn't be a good thing, I guess. But anyway, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, good tirade there, Tom. The numbers of those troops that could be repatriated, Tom, is in the thousands.
Well, we got a report now that there's 200 of them on the way back now.
Well, but you literally have the number of personnel missing that they think are in North Korea are about 5,300. Many of those, and you don't hear it now, but in one of the books I'm reading about the war, many of those were taken to Chinese prisoner camps and might have been buried there. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out to bring those heroes back home. The stories, you know, Tom, you just hear so many stories during that battle of, you know, folks that were wounded and literally the wounds bled and then froze. They didn't even have to cauterize them. They froze. Just remarkable story of heroism.
It is unbelievable what those guys went through over there. We certainly weren't prepared for that war.
No, not at all. But, you know, the Marines, the Army, even the Canadians showed themselves well. But anyway, that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, we thank you for joining us. Hopefully you will join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!